I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for January 21st, 2020, to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mrs. Capalini, here. Mr. Frye?
Here.
Mr. Hanam?
Here.
Mr. McCann?
Here.
Mr. Richardson?
Here.
Ms. Dow?
Here.
Mrs. Westfall?
Here.
All seven members of City Council are present, therefore a quorum does exist. Welcome to our guests this evening. You're on the agenda. I'm not sure if you're here for a particular reason. If you have a question, raise your hand, and I'll recognize you at the right time. At this time, we invite you all to join us for our Pledge of Allegiance, this meeting led by Mrs. Westfall.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This brings us to agenda item three, additions to the agenda. I have no additions to the agenda. However, you'll find in front of your council seats revised items 7B and 8B. We can discuss the revisions when we get to that point in the agenda. But that's the only change I have. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I know that we have a finance committee meeting on Thursday, but I would like to schedule another one this evening as well.
Let's go to Mrs. Westfall's first. I think I gave you the wrong information. We'll add as 13B, schedule finance committee.
Right.
And I told you wrong. Those were not replacements for 7B and 8B. Those are replacement resolutions for 11 and 12. I'm still confused.
Go ahead and tear it up.
Those are the old ones. All right.
For 11 and 12?
Yeah.
These are revised resolutions. Yes, I gave you the wrong information there. I apologize.
3 is 11 and 4 is 12, right?
So they are revised resolutions. I did it too quick. I apologize. Straight now.
And that's it from me as well, Mr. Mayor, just
all
the
right.
Finance Committee that you've already put on the agenda.
We did add schedule Finance Committee meeting as agenda item 13B. Any additional items for members of City Council? Hearing none. Mr. Sanford?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Troyer?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Chief Snorr?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Aller?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Or Mrs. Brining?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and the agenda is approved as revised. Moving on to agenda item four, which is approval of the meeting minutes from our last meeting on January the 6th. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move approval of the meeting minutes from Sylvania City Council meeting held on January 6th, 2020. 20 as submitted.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that the meeting minutes of January 6, 2020 be approved as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and those meeting minutes are approved. Moving on to agenda item 5. Mr. Sanford is going to present this Sylvania Community Improvement Corporation video. Many of you may have had a chance to see this already. It is available online. And it has been shown at the CIC annual meeting, but he wants to show it here, and it's worth seeing again. If you
see. All right. See how I am.
You need to make a living.
and waterways. Sylvania, Ohio is the gateway of the Midwest for both good business and good living. It's a place of tradition and innovation, a place to contemplate, create, and collaborate. It's a place where business and your life come together. Sylvania is the right place in the right space, established and invited, accessible and affordable. Located in the heart of the Midwest, Sylvania is welcoming to visitors coming in and convenient for locals traveling out. Enjoy small city living with big city business just a short drive away.
Working with Sylvania Township has been a pleasure. They have opened the doors that we needed to get this project going in a fast and efficient way. The reason we are moving to Sylvania is the building is perfect for our needs. The location is perfect for our shipping in and out. And close to my house and close to a number of other people that work with their enterprises.
Good business takes a good support system. Sylvania has the technology, transportation, and good-natured government resources to make your business succeed. A safe, caring environment and dependable emergency services mean your family and your investments are well protected.
ProEvica has been in Sylvania since 1975, and hospitals are the kind of organizations that don't go away. Sylvania is a great place to be, a great place to raise a family, a great place to do business. All those things as ProMedica here in Sylvania, and we want to help to make it a place where more and more people can continue to come and do those same exact things.
Sylvania is known throughout the region for its strong public education system and its proximity to several quality higher education institutions, from those just discovering their place in the world to those ready to make the world a better place. We understand our future hinges on teaching for tomorrow.
Sylvania has the best energy of any smaller town I have ever lived in. We have incredibly good schools and education. We have incredible arts, outdoor activities, so that nobody can ever be bored. We spend a lot of energy on building community and having learning be an active process.
Walking, biking, hiking, competing, meeting, and eating are just a few of the ways we keep our community bustling from morning to night. Sylvania culture is enriching. The stories of our past, the artistic expression of our present, and the passionate designing of our future.
We love the energy of our downtown Sylvania. We love people, we love community. Working with the city of Sylvania is fantastic. They are so supportive, and they are looking to improve the city and looking to help people grow. It's one of the reasons we chose to be in Sylvania is because of the support from the city. So it's been a wonderful experience.
From local shops and smaller startups to larger corporations, businesses of all types and sizes are taking root in Tree City, USA. And we're here to help. When you set up shop in Sylvania, you can expect personalized assistance every step of the way. We're not just building business, we're building a community. Love your work. Live your life. All in one place. Welcome to Sylvania, Ohio.
Thank you, Bill.
Again, so the background is the CIC project, which is a combination of the city and the township. We interviewed different companies to do it. This is David Navarre and his wife, Brady now. They did a great job. I was able to look at most of the sheets to kind of see how they work. And we gave background to the people that had speaking parts of it. Quick story about with Kripke. When I went on to give us effort, Andy spoke at one of the CIC meetings. And he offered to do a tour. So we set this up, and a lot of us went out there. And he goes on to steal, just right off, just talking about what they're doing and moving. I said, oh, this got to be in the video, you know. And he said yes. And so I worked out there. So it's a good selling point, I think, for the whole community.
There is a companion printed piece. I think maybe you've all had a chance to see that. If not, we'll get copies of it to you. It's being well-received, and it's not just for us to see. We made one of these maybe 6 or 7 years ago during the Jamie Farr, and it's now that the marathon is back onto national television again this year, they oftentimes ask for a 30-second video or so. So I've asked for a shortened version to be produced as well that we can use on a network news to talk about our community. And there's only one scene in it that I've asked Ray to update maybe midsummer or later this fall, and that's the SOMO site. It's just a big mud hole in that picture. It'll be much better to look at in a few months and look like there's construction, not just devastation. So those are the two things that I've asked to be changed on it. But I think it's terrific. And it is available online. The Chamber has it on their Facebook page. There's a link to it there.
And we're getting out of a lot of folks right now. So. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. On to agenda item 6. We're very happy to welcome our representative to the TARDA board, Mary Morrison, to introduce to us the new general manager of the Toledo Area Regional Transit Authority, Kimberly Dunham. Welcome, Kim.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Mayor Stile, and members of council for inviting me to be here with you tonight. I'm really excited. Actually, this is like the perfect kickoff. I just want to say community partnership, all of it. So I'm very excited to be here tonight. And if you don't mind indulging me, I thought I would share a little bit with you about my past, what drew me to the Metro Toledo region, and what my vision is for TARDA. I've devoted my life and career to building exceptional trends that change people's lives and provide social, economic, and environmental benefits to communities. In addition to having 30 years of experience in the public transit industry, I serve on the active board of directors and am closely aligned with peers who run small, medium, and large-sized transit systems across the country. They deploy current technology and implemented best practices, and I think that these relationships will be invaluable for us as we move TARDA into the future. We reimagined and reinvented together. I selected the Metro Toledo region as my next career choice because I saw great potential to improve the public transit system here based on the foundational work that has been completed by many supporters of investment in a robust and multimodal transportation network. I found that the groundwork had been developed here to move TARDA into the future. Through the new Toledo Strategic Vision Plan and the Lucas County Commissioner's Task Force Report initiatives. I also recognize there will be significant challenges ahead of us. In my very short 4 weeks and 2 days, I have confirmed that TARDA is in desperate need of being completely transformed in order to develop into a modern, efficient, and reliable transit system. There is much work to be done, and I guarantee everyone's every successful metropolitan region in the United States has a high-quality public transportation system, and Metro Toledo is no different. Public transportation intersects with everything that's important to you as elected officials, and as we just saw in this video that you shared, committed to improving your communities. This includes access, mobility access, to jobs, doctor's appointments, and other medical appointments, shopping and education, economic development, attracting employers to our specific requirements when they're choosing a location to build their new place of employment. I would bring to your attention when Amazon is doing an HQ2 selection process, public transit is one of their top priorities and where they're going to locate. Workforce development, attracting and retaining high quality workers, affordable housing, including quality of life for seniors who want to age in place, for the next generation who wants to work with and play in the community and not necessarily own a car. I'm imagining that your holiday dinner table, these conversations will be had with the next generation. And also for people with disabilities, transportation literally is door of opportunity and literal lifeline to these people. I'm sharing some recent progress at Targa. A lot of this had started prior to my 40s and older guy. We recently deployed the Easy Fare payment platform, which allows riders to use credit and debit cards to pay their fare. We have a van pooling partnership with Enterprise that's underway. We're looking to expand those opportunities and look for employers who are interested in this program. This is a great way to solve the first mile, last mile problem. And wherever Targa's limited service goes to now, I think the van pooling might be a great way for an employer to get people from the end of our service line to their place of employment. On February 3rd is the go-live date for our passing of road technology, and that provides real-time data for riders so that we can track when the bus is going to arrive. We've purchased 53-ton vehicles for nonprofits in the region to transport elderly and disabled individuals just in the last year. I personally met with the Federal Transit Administrator 2 weeks ago for 2.5 hours in Chicago, and FTA was at our place for 3 days last week. We are going to meet FTA's help every step of the way. We live in a very highly regulated environment. And I was aware before I arrived here of what Targa's issues were. We have a lot of work to do. I'll share with you a little bit more about that in a moment. Tomorrow I'm meeting with the Ohio Department of Transportation Public Transit Administrator. You know, I think my relationships through ASTA, my own personal reputation in the business, and that's not to be my one. But I hope that after any class as a region, a lot of connections with people who know that they, you can look at my LinkedIn profile, you can look at Greater Maine Transit District and read the board meetings for the last 5 years and see what I was able to accomplish there. That's what I'm hoping to accomplish there. I will tell you that without them, they're very welcoming. They understand part of the situation, and I think that they are going to help us get through the short-term financial struggles. We have long-term financial struggles too, but I really need somebody to help us. On the horizon, one of my top priorities is to bring our assets into a state of good repair. And we've been fortunate to have 3 other transit agencies in Akron, Dayton, and Columbus give Targa hand-me-down vehicles when they're finished with that. That's not acceptable to me. We have more than 71 fixed-route vehicles and 71 paratransit vehicles that have exceeded their age and/or mileage thresholds as defined by the Federal Transit Administration. And if another transit agency has deemed those vehicles unworthy to remain in service, I feel just as strongly that our region deserves better. We deserve brand new vehicles. And my job is to make sure I'm teaming up the money to make sure that that's happening. So there will be 2 phases to the vehicle replacement strategy. One will be, we will need to order new vehicles immediately, and there will be no doubt it's going to help us with the local share funding tomorrow that will allow us to place an order. And a lot of people have talked about what the right size of vehicles for us to be running on service and why are you always running these big, large 35 and 40 foot buses. My long-term goal is to be sure that we diversify our fleet. And we right-size it to be sure that we know what our capacity can handle from each route and then accommodate it with an appropriate vehicle. I will also tell you that we have challenges in that we don't have the technology right now, quite frankly. Our fare boxes don't work. We do not have automatic passenger counters. So frankly, my team can't really tell me what the ridership is on each line or route. So these are all hurdles that we're just going to have to attack one at a time. But I just want to let you know that's the vision and future of what we'll be doing at Targa. We need to prioritize and fund many mission-critical infrastructure projects. And this has just been through my personal observance in my short time here and asking questions of the team. But I just want to give you some examples so you can understand the order of magnitude of where Target is right now and the things that we need to buy. Not because they're grandiose or futuristic or anything like that. Quite frankly, these are technologies and support items that other transit agencies of our size have had for quite some time, 5 to 10 years. We need fare boxes. We need facility improvements, including mechanical system upgrades. Having a lovely and information technology that have a similar transit system tab with VPN. Fleet maintenance and flex inventory control. We do all of that manually. Customer relationship management tools, integrated fare technology, mobile data terminals for our air transit drivers rather than using paper manifests. And frankly, the list goes on, so I don't worry with all of it, but this is what we're up against, and I'm really anxious to know this because it's exactly why I need everyone to help to get better in a better place financially. We need to enact a new branding strategy, and this will be 2 phases. Right now, we've boarded, and I've met with the mechanics a couple times this week. They have 11 different products on the street, 11 different types of vehicles, new models, all of that. So it's challenging for them, right? Because standardization of parts and all of it. So, you know, the goal is to at least have all the charter buses look like charter buses right now, and eventually, you know, we need to complete reinvent the new reimagined, reinvented charter. Finally, in this area, we definitely need to undertake a complete bus system redesign. And part of my recent experience in the field was just due to the fact that I have limited bench there myself. I was the project manager on a similar bus system redesign. An alternative now is this recommendation project for the local fixed route service that was one that connected DOT. It was about a 4-year project, including the comprehensive operational analysis, origin and destination study, public participation, process down on the community, understand where people are and where they want to go. And then just some of the things that came out of it that I think we could also implement here at Tarta. We definitely need to expand our service in terms of span of service, days of the week, hours, second shift, third shift, people, and the area covered. I'm interested in public-private partnerships with employers who want to offer transit passes as an employee benefit. We need to look at cross-district service, not just the hub and spoke system that we have right now, where everyone has to ride on the outskirts, go to the hub, transfer, and then ride back out. Strategically place main hubs all around the district that makes more sense by moving people in a quicker fashion. We need to focus on employment centers and the area attractions, include passenger amenities, plus shelters, benches, and signage. I could go on forever, but I hope this is giving you some sense of sort of what I learned, what my experience has been, my knowledge, and what we plan are going to do here at Tarta. We need to ensure the transit that's available when employers and housing developments and medical service providers move into your community. And I want to be considered one of your strategic partners as your community continues to grow and develop. Finally, we need to shift from the current property tax model to a sales tax model. This will yield the projections of between $25 and $30 million a year versus the less than $13 million that part of VCs right now. This will accomplish 3 things. It will allow us to expand our local funding to fill our operating deficit. Because right now we're using capital funding to fill our operating deficit. We are allowed to do that by the FDA, but it also holds us back from using the capital formula funding that's been apportioned to our urbanized zone for us to buy buses, technology, and all the other things that I spoke to you about. And this also would allow us to leverage additional federal cap competitive grant funding and state funding. So I look forward to working with all of you to build the highest quality, reliable, efficient, fantastic public transportation system. I thank you for your interest and our success. And I'd be happy to entertain any questions.
And what are your plans for the be on the ballot over the course of the next year?
Well, as of today, the plan is to put property tax renewal on the ballot in March, and then in November, during the November election, to propose the sales tax, the shift to sales tax, and the property tax.
Give us, if you can, Kimberly, that has been a challenge the last 3 times, and there's a deadline that needs to be met prior to the November election. It's probably 90 days or so. Doug, you may know better, that each of the communities needs to pass a resolution of approval to go on the ballot to do that. So there's a lot of work to be done prior to November to even get it on the ballot.
Yeah, and I'm fully aware of that, that's exactly why I'm not here, we need all the UN intentions to get out and meet with every group of elected officials, as many times as I need to, or not the chamber, and in front of the Rotary. I want to get out and talk to everybody possible, but I think what further understood is part of the challenge with people's belief and partisan ability to really move into the future and be good stewards of fiscal, public funds, right, all of that. And I hope I will have your vote of confidence in what we do here today, or come to you privately, and then call me anytime. I'm at work, my door's open, my phone is ringing, and that's how I do business. So if the concern is the leadership of Tarver and the future of Tarver looks like, I'll be happy to spend as much time as I need to connect with many people as possible. You can ask me all the hard questions about what we're going to do, but we absolutely need all the community support in order to be able to. We just have to get our financials. There's no way to do it.
Well, speaking from someone who lives in one of those spokes right now, I certainly find it very optimistic to hear that you're considering looking at other ways to make it more efficient, because I know in the times that I've tried to ride Tarta myself, I've gotten frustrated in that even though I live within a 5-minute walk of 2 bus stops, they only run at the beginning of the day and the end of the day, and they would only take me towards the mall and back, and so I would have to either rely on the TARPS buses or find a different way to move around, and that gets me in the habit of just instantly going in my car. So thank you for sharing that that is something you're looking at into the future that will probably affect not just ours, but probably other of the municipalities that you'll have to convince for November.
Kimberly, I have a point of clarification. You made a reference to perhaps the current budget is $13 million, but you need $25 million. I'm not sure I understood that correctly. Could you?
The revenues from the 2 property tax millages is just shy of $13 million
okay.
a year.
And your
projection is for
And do you feel that that figure is a workable figure to move Tarta into the current century?
It's much, much better than where we are right now. We capitalize more than $6 million annually in operating costs that we draw down on federal land funds. So that's my first, we need to plug that hole, right, of the additional 12 to 17 million, that's $6.5 million automatically that we just need to take care of our operating budget. And that's at our current service level. Then we start to increase service, our costs are going to go up. All the capital items that we need to invest in, there's going to be additional costs. So, whether it's a tech support contract for technology, right, or service. Most of our software programs, we do not have upgraded versions. And I'm not talking about last year's version. I'm talking about many, many years, including our dispatching software, our fixed line, our paratransit. So all of those types of things need to get addressed and be brought up to speed in order for us to get on first century transit.
Kim, I'm sure Mary's told you, I've been something of a TARDIS skeptic. I've written a number of letters to your predecessor about expanding services, particularly the TARPS services throughout the county, to which I've never received a response. I will share those both with you and Mary, and I would love to sit down and talk with both of you about that issue and about your desire to move to a sales tax. Those are issues that I think with better relationship with the general manager of TARDA, I think we can get through. But I would like to have those discussions. I'll get you those letters.
You know, also, so where I just came from was paratransit is like my heart. Like, I know the lifeline that gives the elderly and disabled asylum. We must provide an exceptional, it's not just giving an exceptional fixed line service. Whoever's writing our service deserves the highest quality of level of customer service, on time performance. But the only way I can get there, and I'm being honest, is like we've got to get even more buses.
And Kimberly, I will tell you that my discussions with my neighbors, they share the same heart that you have for providing that service. And when I presented that to your predecessor, he chose not to respond to me. So I welcome having those discussions and exploring that further with you.
All right. Thank you very much for coming, Kim. We appreciate your time and your vision for TARDA and for better transportation to help with economic development and the quality of life in our community. And Mary, thank you as well. You've come to several meetings that I've been a part of, and we appreciate your volunteer work on the TARDA board. You're both welcome to stay for the rest of the meeting, but don't feel obligated to. You're welcome to go. All right. We are now ready to move on to agenda item 7, which is the 2020 micro surfacing project. We've done these for several years. There's a description in the public service director's report with all the streets that we're going to get done. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, micro surfacing is a different type of product that we've been using for several years. Last year, we actually took a year off from it. It is a process where the street has to be in the right shape to be able to utilize it. If the street is deteriorating too much, it's not a viable product. And then we go to, unfortunately, the more expensive resurfacing methods and things like that. The areas that we plan on concentrating in this year are Eldon's Ranch View subdivision, the Eagle Trace subdivision, and then a few various streets around town in addition to those. We do perform this project under the ODOT's Cooperative Purchasing Program. Strausser Construction is the contractor that participates in that program. Because they've already negotiated the price with ODOT, it's not necessary to go out for bid on these items. We have collected the collective square yards of microsurfacing that we'll be doing. We utilize the appropriate square yardage pricing from Strausser in the cooperative purchasing contract, and we determine that the amount is 164,000, $788.18, and therefore we're able to just move forward with the contract with Strausser. So we don't have to publicly advertise and bid this project. Strausser is a good contractor. They've done all of our work, and we've been very happy with what they've done, and we would recommend them moving forward with in a contract with them in the amount of $164,788.18.
Kevin, you mentioned a couple of things. This within here, it says the streets have to be in a certain condition, and one of them, this is my neighborhood, so I'm curious on, so it has to be in relatively good shape because we're not scraping, I take it.
Correct, yeah. If the pavement is in relatively good shape and just has some surface cracking and things and that type of deterioration, the microsurfacing will do a good job of sealing everything up and extending the life. If the pavement gets into a situation where the cracking starts to go a little deeper, or there's rutting from where the traffic patterns are, then the microsurfacing isn't quite as good of a candidate.
So are we going to be looking at expanding this further?
Yeah, we will use this. We will use this product wherever we can. It has its limitations, but we get about an 8 to 10 year life extension off of this product at a much lower cost. I forget what our square yardage is or our mileage, but if you take a look at the list of streets that are in there, resurfacing would probably cost us probably close to four, maybe five times that amount. It's a very economical product.
We've used this process in several neighborhoods in the past. We oftentimes get a few initial comments that it's too rough when they put it down and people don't like it, but within a few months it wears down quite smooth, and I think it's working out very well.
So it's a positive result so far.
It has been. Sometimes it gets overlaps onto the concrete curbs a little bit, or the recessed curbs, and it looks a little unsightly that way, but in the long run, I get good comments out of it. My barber happens to live on one of the streets in Grove Bell, and so every time I go in there, I hear all about it. And it's gone from bad to it's all right to that's working out pretty well.
Good to hear.
Is your street on here as well, Brian?
Yes.
So you're going to get a first-hand experience with it as well.
Yes, Mary.
Again, it depends on how much traffic you have on your street, how quickly it goes down. But you can see that when it's brand new, you'll see some high points on it, some high ridges that wear down pretty quickly over time. And that makes a big difference. I wish they could use it on my street, Vicksburg, but my street is too far gone to be able to do it. It's going to take a mill and fill type project to do it. But we should do all the streets we can in this methodology. So it works pretty well. Kevin, did we use this on Haroon Road as well, on the hill?
We did not use
it. We used something on Haroon that's worked out well over the years, too.
That was a resurfacing on Haroon. We used it on McCord Road.
That's right. We used it on McCord.
And that was one that, when we first put it, because it gets a lot of traffic, we initially got several complaints that it was noisy, all of that, and we tried to convince, or we did convince people, said give us time, give it a year, and let us know. And one of the residents there did actually call back. He said, I'm gonna call you. He did. And he says, you're right. He says, it's just like any other pavement now. So that first year, that first 6 months to 12 months, depending on how much traffic you have, it is a little noisier. It's a little rougher of a material, but it evens out, and you can't tell.
It's also a pretty fast application. They'll be in and out pretty fast. It won't be much of an inconvenience. Kevin, you were waiting for a phone call back. I was having a fellow with sharp implements working around my head. But he's satisfied as well.
I was just surprised he called, because I'll hear, yeah, I'm going to call you. Well, in a year, you know, people tend to forget, but he called.
Okay. We do have ordinance number 3, 2020, to accept the proposal of Strausser. There aren't many companies that do this project, are there?
No, there's only, there are only two. Strausser actually was the only one that was on the list for some time. This year, there is a second company that asked to be included. But we just don't, we don't feel they've got a long enough work history with this particular product. And so there are other companies, the big contractors like Gerken Paving that everybody's aware of, they've tried to do this and they haven't had success because it's a different type of installation and they just, they haven't.
It's a big piece of equipment that puts this down as well.
Yes, yeah.
All right. Mr. Frye.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to introduce ordinance number 3, 2020. All members of council having previously received copies, I will read by title only. Accepting the proposal of Strausser Construction Incorporated to provide pavement rehabilitation work for the 2020 microsurfacing project, appropriating funds therefore in the amount of $164,788.18, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Been moved and seconded that ordinance number 3, 2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of ordinance number 3, 2020.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 3, 2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 3, 2020 is approved. Mr. Allard, do you have an anticipated schedule yet?
We'll be during the summer, and it will be prior to school.
Okay.
So I believe we're looking at the month of July.
Well, you're talking tomorrow. Did you turn down the heat, Mark?
Yeah. Just a smidge. That's why we're trying. I was trying to not put that on the public record, Mayor, but yes. It's getting a little warm over here.
You too. Okay. Moving on to agenda item 8, this is purchase of 3 new police vehicles. These are in the budget. Chief Snore.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In the council packet, we have a proposal to purchase 3 2020 Ford Police Utility SUVs from Matthews Ford. That particular vendor offers a program that we've been using for probably about the last 10 years. We've used statewide Ford out of Van Wert. The reason for that is they were one of the first vendors to offer basically all upfitting in one location. So you pay one fee to the dealership, and then they hire the subcontractors to come in and do all the upfitting. Matthews this year is starting a new process with PNR Communications and Sound Off Signal to offer the same upfitting here in Lucas County. So that's why Matthews Ford is the vendor that we're requesting to contract with for the purchase of these vehicles. The quote includes the base price of the SUV as well as on page, the quote's a little confusing. On page 3, it's got the package price of $9,049.21. And then on page 4 is actually the list of all the things that go into upfitting the car. For example, lights and siren. This is a new model year and a change in the design of the vehicle. So some of the things that are on old cars, these are 2014s, which are being replaced, which have an average mileage of about 130,000 miles. So many of the items that are being purchased with these vehicles can't be transferred from the old 2014 vehicles because of the model year change. So, any questions?
Do we have the opportunity to put those on GovDeals, or are they the property of Matthews Ford?
Right, we'll work with the City Garage to figure out ways that we can repurpose or sell the remaining equipment.
Right.
Some of the items, like the light bars, for example, I believe are 15 years old, so I don't know that we will actually keep some of those for parts for our older vehicles.
Chief, provided that it is approved tonight, when will you expect delivery?
Well, the production has been behind, so I probably not till mid to late summer would we get these new vehicles.
Thank you.
The city is fortunate to have a good mechanic and a good maintenance shop. They've been doing a fine job keeping our vehicles online. And in talking to him and to the chief, we seem to be holding our own right now.
We are.
Okay.
The newer vehicles last much longer than the cars from even 10 years ago.
Okay. We do have ordinance number 4, 2020, to authorize this purchase.
Mr. Mayor, I know we've talked about body cams and car cams, and how are these consistent with those? Should we move that way? And
They are. Currently, all of our marked units have it's a 10-year-old system, we have it in this year's budget for a new camera system, including body cameras. We have a grant proposal out, and we're waiting for final approval. We've made it to the last round of approval. That would pay for about 20% of our upfit for new cameras this year. So as soon as we have the final word on that, we're down to two vendors, one of which is a Motorola product, and they have local service. So, you know, we're just going to vet out those final two vendors. We've been looking at the camera system for about a year, waiting for approval of financing. Then this grant came along. So that program has been moving along. Our current system is still functioning, but it is at an end of life. So we're going to need to, you know, move on that this year. Unfortunately, we have been approved for the funding with your support. So.
Yeah, I know. I just noticed looking through the details of the vehicles, there's wiring packages and stuff I'm not a car guy,
right.
So.
From what the vendors tell us, with the way these cars are set up, the cameras can be put in less than an hour.
Okay. So
it's pretty easy upfit as far as the technology. They're
That's what I'm
very technology based.
Thank you.
Seeing no further questions, Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 4, 2020. All members of council having received copies in advance, I'll read by title only. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance to accept the proposal of Matthews Ford for the purchase of 3 new 2020 Ford Police Interceptor utility vehicles for the Sylvania City Police Department, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that ordinance number 4, 2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of ordinance number 4-2020.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 4-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And ordinance 4-2020 is approved. We'll let you know when those new vehicles are going to be delivered. Maybe we'll have a photo op or something like that with our new police vehicles. Moving on to agenda item 9. This is the Fossil Park operating agreement, and I'm going to have Mrs. Brining talk about this. But the time goes fast. This dates back to Art Lansdale worked with the quarry company. They were concerned about all the uninvited visitors they had going into their operating quarries, and they asked if the city would help or take a lease on a fossil park that they would deliver fresh shale to, and it's been quite popular with the public. I got an email today about somebody requesting information about visiting it. It's shut down until mid-April. I found that out today. They wanted to know if they could still get into the main quarry. I think perhaps the gravel company does let some people in there, but not many, and certainly not children. When an agreement is this old, it should be updated, and that's what Mrs. Brining is going to tell us about.
That's correct, Mr. Mayor. This is the original operating agreement was entered into in 2000, and I believe the original agreement recommended that the agreement be reviewed every 5 years, and that did happen in 2005 when the first set of capital improvements were made. The restroom facilities were added. They're getting ready to do another round of improvements out there. I believe they're adding a shelter and a new ramp down into the fossil pit. So since they're making that a large capital investment, they asked to take a look at it. I've been negotiating with their attorney, and I believe Kevin has had discussions with Erica Burry and understands what their improvements are going to be. The terms are nearly identical to what we've agreed to in the past, and we're comfortable with it and would recommend that you approve it.
This is one of those that the city did operate it when it was brand new, and we are far happier having Olander Park System operate it than us. They've done a good job with it. They put those improvements on the site, and people are they made it much easier to get down into that quarry. If you visited there, they have cut a ramp down there, so it's accessible. It's a good deal out there. We do have ordinance 5-2020 to enter into this updated and amended lease with the Olander Park System.
I have one question about this lease.
Sure.
Okay, so that we renew it every 30 years. And if we don't renew it, we're not that I ever think we wouldn't, but you know, it's a long way from here to the end. So if we ever didn't renew it, we're obligated to reimburse Olander for 50% of capital expenditures.
Made within the last 2 years.
Within the last 5 years.
Right.
I would prefer that any improvements they make in the last 5 years that they require our approval. In other words, if they're going to make an improvement in the last 5 years of a term before renewal, I would like them to bring that to council and get our approval so that we're buying into it, as opposed to, you know, certainly, you know, our current Olander people are not going to, would not do that, but, you know.
I understand. That was in the prior, the 2005 amendment, when they made their first round of significant capital expenditures.
Right.
We do have the ability to establish a fossil advisory committee, an oversight committee.
Yeah.
So that may be something that we take a more active approach in.
I guess my point is, if we're going to agree to pay half of it, you ought to ask us.
Before they do it.
Yeah, it's just in those last 5 years. They want to do it before, when it's not ours, mm-hmm. not on us, they can do whatever they want. In that last 5 year period, if they're going to make a capital improvement, I think they ought to get council's approval. Does that sound outrageous?
In this case, they wanted the new agreement before they made those improvements,
yeah.
which are not going to be in those last 5 years.
Right.
But if you want, we can take this back to them.
Yeah, I don't think they'd have a problem with that.
I don't think they will either. We should certainly see what their capital improvement schedule is, and if they're in the last 5 years of the agreement, I think it. We should be able to subject to
Because anything they do, we're buying into.
But, you know? But if we're going to do that, Doug, there should be a materiality threshold. They decide to buy a new trash can.
Yeah. Okay. I absolutely agree. Mm-hmm. I'm not assuming bad faith or anything. I'm just thinking what I would do if I were doing this.
Instead of then introducing this with council's permission, we should probably refer this back to the administration for additional negotiation with the Olander Park System.
And there's no rush of time on.
Doesn't seem to be.
Do you need a motion on that?
I don't know that we need a motion.
And Leslie, I'm sorry I didn't get with you before this, because I didn't read it until 6 o'clock tonight. I hadn't read the agreement. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I don't think we need a motion. We had discussion. All right, let's leave that one that way. That moves us on to agenda item 10, proposed ordinance 6-2020 to accept a warranty deed of right-of-way from David and Diane Webb. Kevin, you need to tell us what's going on here. I think this is at the end of Colonial Court. Council is familiar with that situation.
Yes, we actually approved this or something similar once before, but unfortunately, when it got down to Lucas County tax maps, they were not in agreement with the easement and how the easement had been put together. There is an existing 2-foot anti-vehicular access easement at the end of Colonial Court, and the only way that can be extended is through an extension of right-of-way. So what we had to do is basically create a 1-foot right-of-way on the Webb's property, and then do a warranty deed for that section of right-of-way in order to satisfy tax maps. This, we end up with nothing different than what we originally had, but the mechanism of getting there had to be done in a different manner, so.
That's a landlocked parcel, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is, it had been approved, a few months ago. Leslie has made several trips down to Lewis County tax maps, to get this worked out and, dealing with the Webb's attorneys and, but we are finally there and, we would ask for your approval of this again. Leslie, if you have anything to add?
No, Kevin did a good job summarizing it. It was just, there was a, difference of opinion on what would satisfy the contingency in the plat restriction. At the end of the day, we did what the person who controls the stamp recommended that we do, so just that's what this is.
So just as a follow-up question on this, Leslie, so if, do we have to, so we're just adding something on to what we've already done, so we don't have to pull back on what we've already done, correct? Okay.
BJ didn't accept what we did originally, so we're okay.
I'm sure Kevin said that, but I wasn't completely following what he was saying. Okay, thank you.
We're still not in 100% agreement, but as Leslie said, the holder of the stamp.
Is that the recorder's office?
Yes.
Otter.
Yeah.
That explains it.
All right, to accept this warranty deed right-of-way agreement, we have ordinance 6-2020, and because this was a zoning issue earlier, Mr. Hanum, I actually have you reading it.
All right, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I introduce ordinance number 6- I move adoption of ordinance number 6-2020. All members of council, having previously received copies, I will read by title only. Accepting from David R. Webb and Diane M. Webb a warranty deed of right-of-way, dedicating the same for public purposes, providing funds therefore, waiving the second and third readings, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It is moved and seconded that ordinance number 6-2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Mr. Mayor, I move final passage of ordinance number 6-2020 as an emergency measure.
Second.
Been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 6-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 6-2020 is approved. Moving to page 2 of our agenda, we're now up to agenda item 11. These next two items are the ones with the revised resolutions, so please make sure you got them inserted correctly. We replaced the original 11 with a new 11. This is proposed resolution 3-2020. This is the normal statement of what service will be provided in the area to be proposed to be annexed. These are to replace, this is part of the new process when they were resubmitted to the county. If you recall, the county asked us to withdraw and resubmit because they had missed the deadline and we agreed to do that, so as there would be no questions about the process. So, Mrs. Brining, something's changed in here, that's why you revised it.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The only correction that was made on both resolutions numbers 3 and 4 were to change the where letters G and H in section 1, where it discusses the sanitary sewer charges. Those had been amended previously, but after we did the first round, so I apologize.
We changed those rates, right?
Correct. We redid yes. Numbers. Yep. Yeah. So that's the only change.
That would be in the other one.
They also get free admission to Fossil Park. in addition to the other things that guaranteed.
On the one that's a deal, the other I don't.
There is no H on mine.
That's correct. I'm sorry. There's H on the original.
Right.
G and H were deleted. G was replaced. H is not.
Yeah, I noticed that.
There is a There's an H on the other one.
The H is the automatic one, that's it.
Okay, and there's no I in the next one. Okay.
You're right. Okay.
All right. Again, we have these two resolutions to pass. This is normal operating procedure for every annexation. The annex hearing date has been set. That annexation hearing date is in February 18th, and it's sometime in the afternoon during the county commissioners' meeting.
For both of these?
Yes.
They are separate, but they will be considered at the same meeting.
Okay. Great.
All right, Mr. Hanem, I have you down to read both of these.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of resolution number 3-2020. All members of council having previously received copies, I will read by title only. Adopting a statement pursuant to revised Code of Ohio 709.03D indicating what services will be provided to the area proposed to be annexed to the City of Sylvania by petition for annexation filed with the Board of Lucas County Commissioners, waiving the second, third reading, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that resolution number 3-2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of resolution number 3-2020 as an emergency measure.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage of resolution 3-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and resolution 3-2020 is approved. Moving on to agenda item 12, we have resolution number 4-2020. This is for the Country Walk subdivision annexation. Mr. Hanem.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of resolution number 4-2020. All members of council having previously received copies, I will read by title only. Adopting a statement pursuant to revised Code of Ohio 709.03D indicating what services will be provided to the area proposed to be annexed to the City of Sylvania by petition for annexation filed with the Board of Lucas County Commissioners, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that resolution number 4-2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Move final passage of resolution number 4-2020 as an emergency measure.
Second.
Been moved and seconded for final passage of resolution 4-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and resolution 4-2020 is approved.
Mr. Mayor, I thank the administration for their work on these. I know it's been challenging.
Thank you. On to agenda item 13, committee reports, and on the agenda is a report of the Employee and Community Relations Committee meeting held on January 13th. Mr. Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, the Employee and Community Relations Committee met on the 13th of January at 5 p.m. We wanted to discuss the banner policy on Main Street, live streaming videos of council meetings, and the new logo rollout and press release in attendance for myself. Committee members, Katie Capellini, Doug Hanem, and Brian McCann, also from Council, Mark Fry and Mary Westfall, and from Administration, Leslie Brining and Bill Sanford. Katie distributed an updated of our current banner policy and where we stand, and there was discussion on whether we should go with planters, and there was talk about that, and Doug emphasized the need for the city to control what is displayed and setting up some kind of a system there. And then we also touched on the issue of the recyclability of the materials we're using for those banners. Then we talked about live streaming, where Doug suggested that we get info from the administration on the costs of live streaming. I guess there has been some research done from the administration already, so we want to at least get a baseline cost to see where that would come in before we move forward on that. And then for the press release, we talked about including local apparel manufacturers, and Jute Mode came up, and seeing if we can get them the logo once we decide that it's out there. and then that way there can be some apparel and things that that have the new logo on it that you can get. And the administration said they would provide us with a timeline of when that's going to all roll out. And we adjourned at 6 p.m.
As an update, Mr. Sanford has gone back to the Fuller Art Gallery to get an update, and we are awaiting a proposal. Mr. Sanford, why don't you report where you're at on the branding discussion?
Mr. Mayor, yeah, just to follow up, so we're using the logo correctly in all the different ways it can be used, and I talked to Danny Fuller and asked her to prepare something, and that would be a guidebook or some guide to for all the different uses that we could have for the logo. So she understood that, and she's in the process of putting that together.
That will be a proposal at additional contract cost with the Fuller Art House that goes beyond the scope of the original logo design contract. We're waiting that proposal to come in. I had asked to see if it could make it by tonight, but it didn't make it to tonight. So we'll have it 13 nights from tonight, I hope, and we'll get it back to you. In the meantime, I have stopped all logo printing. I've stopped this. I want, if we're going to try to brand everything together, it's time that we will wait for that. If we want this on a white background, do we want it to say City of Sylvania under it? Is it just the logo? Let's wait for what the Fuller Art Gallery has to say and what council's comments on it are. So when we have that proposal back, it's going to get referred to the committee. Was that in the committee of the whole, do you recall? So it'll probably take another committee meeting to make sure it's what council envisions. I'm not trying to hold things up. We've already printed business cards for all of you. And there are a few apparel things printed already. We have some stationery on it, but if we're going to go through a branding guidebook, we might as well go to hold and see what comes up. So that's where I have it at the moment. Everybody comfortable with that? Okay.
Off the wall question.
This wall?
do we need to copyright this or anything?
That's a good question for the attorney.
I don't know anything about that stuff.
It's a really nice logo, so we might want to do that.
I'll research it.
I think we can probably just file a copyright on it.
I got partners who do this. I can ask them.
All right. That was a big issue with Northwestern University. They have that really nice N with a wildcat coming out of the side of it. And it seemed like there was a high school in every major metropolitan area that decided to use that. And they got a little testy about it. Northview used it. And Northview or Northwestern was chagrined at that. Whitmer High School was using the Pennsylvania Pitt Panther. They got in a lot of trouble for that.
Yeah.
So if we don't have it copyrighted, we can't control it. Not that anybody's going to want to put it on their basketball floor or their football field, but it's a good idea. I appreciate you bringing that up, Mr.
I will talk with an expert on this tomorrow, and I'll get with you.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Any further discussion for Mr. Richardson's committee? Added to the schedule tonight was 13B, to schedule a finance committee meeting. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to schedule a finance committee meeting and invite members of the Downtown Sylvania Association to come in and talk about their budget requests. They did make a budget request of us close to the end of the year. We were well into the budget approval process before they made a request, and we asked them to hold until after the new year and committed to letting them come in and speak to the finance committee in the first quarter. So I'd like to put that meeting on the agenda, and so I'd like to make sure the finance committee members are available and that Mr. Schroyer is available as well. I'm hoping to do it on Monday, February 3rd at 7 o'clock before our next council meeting. Our finance committee members are Mr. Hainem, Mr. Richardson, and Mr. Fry, myself. And I don't know if that will work for you, Toby. Does it? Okay. Does that work? Okay. Doug?
Yeah, at 7?
At 7. I'll confirm with them that it works for them. and get back to Sharon about that so that we can post it if it does.
Okay, this is in addition to the...
In addition to the meeting that is on Thursday, and with a different topic, of course.
Downtown development. We needed to put it into a committee. Since we were inviting all the city council, we couldn't do it without a official committee and a notice. That's why we did that. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional committee reports to be made at this time? Agenda item 14, any committee referrals to be made at this time? Hearing none, we're down to the information items. And in front of your council seats tonight was what I've added as item D, fourth quarter reports. Again, I use these quite regularly to look at past years to see how much snow we're plowing, how much salt we're using, how many roads, tons of asphalt we're putting down, all those sorts of things. And if you, I keep them up to date in the city supplied three ring binders, and I think that works pretty well. With that, we are to the end of our agenda. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
It's been moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries, and this city council stands adjourned until its next regularly scheduled meeting on Monday, February the 3rd at 7:30 p.m. in these council chambers. Thank you all for attending.
Thank you.